You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, you know what that sound is. Big news in the NFL. Dan Hansis joined by Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal. Going three-man weave here. A little bit of an interesting mix-up here. Some big news happened in the last 12 hours. So the three of us are going to take you through it. Three big news items. Then we'll throw to the show that we taped originally yesterday that has your boy, Trash Take Man, Patrick Claibon, with Wes and Greg and Mark. I was with my parents.
We keep pulling you away from your vacation. This is 2 times in like 72 hours.
Yeah, it's
9:30, bro.
A little peek behind the curtain, but we had that taped. You know, it's all in the can. It's beautiful. We're going to take out the Antonio Brown section, but there's plenty of good stuff, plenty of trashy takes. Mark bans a few words. And so why throw that whole show out? But we should talk the big stuff.
Don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. That's what they say.
Right. I mean, who would even consider that except for monsters?
Right. Don't throw out a baby.
Don't throw
in
out
general
your babies.
Is a life rule.
Literally, a psychopath would do something like that. But,
bad human idea.
Anyway, let's get into it. Why are we doing this? Because we got to talk Antonio Brown, the drama. Remember a couple years ago, it was this one I need Wes here. There was the basketball free agent news. It was regarding a big man, as I recall, and everyone was going crazy. And there were GIFs and videos of players on banana boats together and recruiting going on Twitter. And it was a great snapshot of NBA Twitter and how fun it could be. NFL, we got a nice little fun, exciting Twitter evening. And it all happened because NFL network insider Ian Rappaport reported that the Pittsburgh Steelers were, quote, closing in on a deal to trade Antonio Brown to the Bills, to the Bills. And that led to, let's be honest, a lot of derision, chuckles, a lot of, oh, Antonio got. The Steelers did it.
He lived in Buffalo. I can imagine the Mark Sessler of Buffalo being very annoyed during that 1 hour.
Oh, yeah.
People were just slamming on the city of Buffalo.
And I'm sure people came hard with the laughs at Buffalo's expense. I caught some fire. I didn't go after Buffalo. But what I was laughing at, or what I was commenting on Twitter, because everybody had a couple tweets, was just how horrendous the fit was, and it was just a disaster if it was going to happen. Well, it looks like it's not going to happen because we had reports that Antonio Brown, who he himself tweeted fake news immediately after Ian's story broke. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette's Jerry Dulac reported that the Brown deal fell apart because Brown refused to go to Buffalo. And this trade is not going to happen now. Adam Schefter also reporting that it's not going to happen. Bills GM Brandon Bean confirmed it, stating the team, quote, inquired about Antonio Brown, but ultimately it didn't make sense for either side. Greg, a lot of drama, a lot of chatter, a lot of fun, but ultimately Antonio Brown is still looking for a team.
Yeah, you know, in a wasted couple paragraphs I had, you know, starting my winners and losers of this trade. Josh Allen,
loser,
no,
Greg Rosenthal.
No longer winner. No, I stopped it pretty soon because it didn't take too long into the night, as you mentioned, because there's a lot of people that went to sleep, probably thought Antonio Brown was on the Bills. But it really didn't take that long until some doubt started to be sprinkled, including from Antonio Brown, as you mentioned. And it's just a reminder in these trade situations, and I think the same can be true in a lot of them, but especially this Antonio Brown one. They have control. You can say they don't have control, but especially Antonio Brown, who's made a lot of money and isn't afraid to be a pain in the butt, can just make it clear immediately, no freaking way. And I think that's what happened here, and that's why, you know, you feel for Ian on some level, because I think if Antonio Brown was fine with it. It really does sound like the team obviously – the Bills obviously wanted him. They obviously had the best offer, and now you just wonder what the Steelers are going to do.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills were – it's one of the rare non-trades where both teams involved come out looking – less powerful and with more mud on their face, because Pittsburgh, like it, and not every player can do this, but Antonio Brown is going to control where he goes because he doesn't need football. So he's only going to go to the place he wants, or he'll not play football at all.
He says that, and he did. He said it again, and it sounds like he stopped this trade, and the Bills weren't willing to call his bluff. That's
right. Like they could, right. They could, but if you're the Bills, yeah, do you want that? He had told Darlington, Jeff Darlington, our old coworker last week, if they want me to play, they're going to play by my rules. And if not, I don't
want this guy. Honestly, who would want this guy on their team? The things that he says, it just sounds like, and he's a 30-year-old wide receiver. That's a different conversation. But this whole episode to me continues to not shine a flattering light on Brown, but also it is interesting how, in the NFL, if you are at a certain level of stardom, you can dictate where you go, despite the NFL being all-powerful and the teams seeming to have holding the cards at the times. The players, especially the star ones, have power.
I mean, even David Irvin, who's walking away from the Cowboys, had an Instagram live story last night where he was smoking a massive blunt and basically said, I'm done. He said, I'm not a millionaire. I'm not rich, but I don't need football anymore. And it's a different
That's
world.
That's how
than
I want you to go out, Mark.
Oh, absolutely. I thought it was a fascinating look behind the curtain of David Irvin's life. But I mean, honestly, the one thing I thought about with Buffalo, because I do feel for like the Bills fandom and the whole situation with Buffalo on this, because if you restarted the NFL from scratch today, it's one of those teams that would never, ever have a franchise. No one would ever look to Buffalo to start an NFL right. team. But there is a competitive disadvantage when you are in free agency, when you try to kind of convince star players to come to Western New York, where it's 4 degrees, 6 months a year. There's very little to do other than pound beers in your basement. I mean, it's like that's the opposite of Miami.
And I thought it made sense for them, you know, on a football-wise. You know, you have Robert Foster and Zay Jones. I mean, you're upgrading Antonio. Like, replacing Kelvin Benjamin with Antonio Brown would be like replacing Josh Allen with Ben Roethlisberger or something. You know, it's like, so like I don't mind them trying to improve their team. I don't think they lose anything with egg on their face. It's annoying for the fans. My thing is like, who's stepping up here? One of the interesting things is the second this trade went down, then there were some people, including Diane Rossini with ESPN, that's like, now that this is out and it's happened, oh, by the way, the Packers were a really serious suitors, maybe the next most serious. They were trying to keep it under the radar. But now that, like, the news is out, I feel like I can, you know, use those sources or whatever. And so, because I'm just wondering where this goes now, because the Titans supposedly dropped out. The Raiders, I think, are still in the mix. That's, you know, we have a whole, you know, back and forth with Wes and Claybon yesterday, Hansis, where they went at it. You would have liked it.
Ooh. Well, and we basically said that he was lost, going to the Raiders.
Yeah,
too.
The loss to the Sands of Time. We're not going to include that anymore.
The old one-team race for Antonio Brown seems so long ago.
Right. And just kind of making that same argument that you just said, like, who wants this guy? Someone will, but the Steelers are compromised
and,
now. This could last a while.
Yeah, you're right. The Bills would have made them a much better team. He's arguably the best wide receiver in the league. But if I'm a Bills fan, and I have empathy for Bills fans as a sad Jets fan, you shouldn't be too bummed about this, because it would not have been a good fit if they were able to make it happen. And they called his bluff, and Antonio Brown decided he did want to play football, make millions, even if he'd be unhappy. It probably would have ended up in it with a huge headache. So there's that. That's the positive spin for a Bills fan. But now we'll find out what happens next. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reports the Steelers are still talking with, quote, several teams, and there is no, quote, hard and fast deadline of Friday. So
they've lost all control.
The whole thing is a complete.
We're setting deadlines. Come to us with your offers with a nice red ribbon around it, and we'll decide what we want to do. No, you won't.
You nailed it.
You're loving this as a Browns fan. He's loving seeing the Steelers.
Well, it's, you know, listen,
hanging in the wind.
They're burning from within.
I'm rewatching. Like I said, my parents are in town, and I'm rewatching Succession, the HBO show, which I
Great
quite
show.
Enjoy. The I believe second episode is titled "Shit Show at Factory," and I feel like that's where we're at right now with the Steelers' attempt to trade their iconic wide receiver. It's a show at Factory. You want to move on to the next news item?
Please.
Case Keenum is moving again. The Redskins have acquired the quarterback along with a 2020 seventh round pick from the Denver Broncos in exchange for a 2020 sixth round pick. Case Keenum also gets a half a mil, what they call a restructure bonus, and he'll make $7 million this year, the money that he got paid, the contract agreed to with the Broncos. And the Broncos, as you imagine, to move this man off their books after acquiring Joe Flacco, it was going to hurt. So they're going to pay half of the salary of Case Keenum. So here we go, Mark. The Redskins, who are in Alex Smith limbo slash purgatory right now, find a short-term answer. Case Keenum is Mr. Short-Term Answer. And if you look at it, for what, $3.5 million, $4 million? It's not a bad stopgap when I look at it. But I also know if you're a Redskins fan, you're probably not doing backflips.
Why isn't Case Keenum nixing this trade and saying, I'll sit out and do nothing unless I go to the team I want? I mean, from a financial angle, fine. It checks a box. I don't know how you could create a more underwhelming bit of news for Redskins fans outside of this. I just think they're still going to draft someone, although they still have Colt McCoy, who internally they also view as a starter. It is a muddled – I don't think their quarterback room gained to me any momentum or any extra bit of talent with this. It is one of the more depressing quarterback situations in the NFC, in the entire league, in the entire world.
What, right. What it did gain, Greg, is there's some structure in place now, and we didn't have that.
I guess.
At the very least.
Well, you have Colt McCoy. To me, Colt McCoy is filling the same role that Case Keenum
exactly.
would.
That guy can't play more than 2 weeks without dislocating his shoulder. Okay. That guy is not an answer.
Okay, and I do get the argument. You're right. You're just paying Case Keenum $3.5 million, and so that's fine. I mean, that's like half as much as Chase Daniel
right.
is making. That's fine. But I think Patrick Daugherty at RotoWorld,
BD.
Great coach rankings article this week, by the way. You put it well. He said, how about instead of getting a bargain on Case Keenum, just not getting Case Keenum? Because what it does is Case Keenum is like there's a ceiling to Case Keenum. You know what Case Keenum is. He's on a 17.
And it's
He's
like a Hobbit's house. It's not even a normal
right.
person's
so
house
if,
ceiling.
So if I'm the Redskins and you have no long term, I want to take as many swings as I can at just a chance at it doing better than that. And to me, Teddy Bridgewater is a chance at it doing better, or Nick Foles or whatever. And I know maybe they would have been more expensive, but it's the quarterback position. You have to take chances, and Case Keenum is not taking a chance at all. It is just accepting this low level of mediocrity. It's shooting for 7 wins. And I think you got to take as many swings. And to me, Bridgewater is a swing. And Case Keenum is not a swing. And they probably will draft someone, and that'll make it better. But if they don't, like, they haven't drafted anyone under Jay Gruden.
Well, I think you said that perfectly well. But I think you have to draft someone and then be totally open with, because I don't want to spend all offseason, because we've done this with Case Keenum like 3 times. I don't want to spend all offseason, you know, figuring out what Washington's offense with Case Keenum is like. He could easily be cut if they drafted a rookie who had a great camp and a great preseason and they love Colt McCoy.
Well,
Case Keenum could be
out.
He's
a better backup than Colt McCoy to me.
He should make the team. Case Keenum, I don't want to like totally dog. He's a good backup. He's fine. I mean, he is fine.
Keenum
hates There was a lot going on, though, in this trade. Keenum took a $10 million pay cut. I mean, he was on the books for $17 million. So he just accepted the fact that if he was a free agent.
Oh, he'd never get that.
He's going to make, I think, what is it now, $7.5 or $8 million this year total. And he's saying, I don't think I was going to do better than that as a free agent. He's probably right. I mean, I don't know or not. But he's just kind of accepting his lot in life. And then the Broncos, like everyone who talks to John Elway, I think as a source or whatever it is, or just loves the old guy, just like couldn't wait to be like, well, you got to give Elway credit. You know, he got something for Keenum in the end. Like, I know it was a bad situation.
Calm down.
Please. He had to pay $4 million to get rid of the awful contract that he signed. No one was giving Case Keenum guaranteed money into year two. So that's on Elway, and then they do this little pick swap thing in 2020. What that is to save face to the dummies out there. That is not worth anything. You just moved up in the 2026 to the seventh round. I don't care about that at all. It's not a good deal for Denver. Shut up.
This lipstick on a pig is for John.
I love this episode. Elway also getting taken down.
And I stand by what I said a few weeks ago. If there was a team I wouldn't want to root for right now, it's the Redskins, and this trade only.
I mean, you've been consistent with that for
half
a decade.
But I think they had a little bit of an upswing for a minute or two, and now it's going.
I just want to say, the one thing, the Teddy Bridgewater thing. Can we just calm down a little bit? Like,
just
the
give him a chance, though. Give him a chance.
I know. And on the okay, fair enough. Maybe they're a 9-7 ceiling team with Fred, with Teddy, but
we just don't know.
What is his market now? By the way, Teddy Bridgewater. It's a tough situation. He waited all these years. He comes
Miami?
Back from this horrific injury, and now what is the Teddy Bridgewater's market if he's trying to get a starting job?
It's bad.
Dolphins
yeah.
or bust?
Yeah, it's bad timing. He needs to. It's been a some tough, year run. Get. He has to have a 5-6-7 run at games as a starter some year where the guy in front of him gets hurt or whatever. He's not going to have that market now, and then that's when he could possibly ever get a starting contract. But it's not – you know, he might get more than Keenum's making right now, but not much.
Do you shift into a place where you wait for a big injury and then you just move in as starter with more money? I agree with you. It's no market right now.
I stand – by the way, I also stand by – and we got to move on, but I stand by that week 17 – had a strangely big impact on him. That the using let's use the Redskins as an example. Teddy Bridgewater, if he doesn't play in that game, don't they? Isn't there a chance they're probably thinking Teddy's a better option right now than Case Keenum, the most recycled quarterback in the league?
I think it's more about in yeah. I mean, I hope
Keenum's
I
been
hope
in some similar offenses
that.
To Jay Gruden, and
yeah,
that's like I
he's been
know.
Available.
He's one right. No one wanted Teddy last year, which is a sign you know yeah. teams don't like him as much as I do.
All right. Finally, the Giants and the Browns have done some business, Mark Sessler. The Browns acquired defensive end Olivier Vernon and a fourth-round pick in this year's draft from the Giants in exchange for guard Kevin Zeitler and a 2019 fifth-round pick. Interesting trade, and these are names that were connected to that saucy Odell Beckham trade that was buzzing around Twitter. The Browns and Beckham have been connected on Twitter in recent years, and it happened again. Instead, it's a one-for-one swap with a couple of mid to late round picks added in. Your thoughts on the deal, Mark?
I mean, the proposed Beckham swap, which we talk about later in the show, was a player for players deal, which was absurd. This one is the rare NFL player for player trade with the junky other pick thing that I like. I think it's the Browns openly wanted to move on from Kevin Zeitler, who is a quality guard, but because they have Austin Corbett on the roster and they want to use their draft pick. Fair enough. And Olivier Vernon fills a need. The other guy in that Odell Beckham trade was Emmanuel Ogba. They are not excited, obviously, about the pass rusher opposite Myles Garrett. You get a 28-year-old Olivier Vernon. Everyone's saying, oh, the Browns absorbed this massive cost. Well, Zeitler was costing $10, and $12 million over the next 3 years. Vernon is under contract for two more years for $15 and $15 million. I like it. It would have been a huge draft need for them otherwise, and you find out if it works or not. He also moves back to a 4-3 defense, which is more his traditional spot.
Zeitler was Pro Football Focus top pass-blocking guard last year. So that to me
– he's one of those guys PFF seems to love, I think, more than the Browns.
I think
it's
a lot
great
of people,
for the Giants.
It raised eyebrows – and I'm just reading about it as it happens because Vernon gets paid a lot of money for not a lot of production for the Giants, who were desperate to move him. And they end up getting a guy that is in some circles seen as the best in the business, at least from a pass blocking. It seems like a big win for the Giants.
I think it's a win-win. I actually would rather have Olivier Vernon because to me, these are two ultimately slight disappointments as free agent signings. They were both top 10 guys on our top 101 list when they were free agents. They both got huge deals. If the Browns are so willing to move Zeitler, they can't be that much in love with him for at least whatever their scheme is now. Like, I don't care. Like, I know he's good, but he's been involved in these trade rumors. They must not be totally in love. Vernon is productive when he plays. He's not a big sack guy, but he's a pressure guy. He's kind of like Brandon Graham in Philadelphia. Like, he gets pressure when he plays. He's had some injuries, so there's some risk. But he's a pass rusher that's 28. I don't think it's crazy to pay him $15 million. I like that for the Browns. And you make a good case for Zeitler on the Giants that he's a nice pickup. Let's give him a win-win. Way
to
go, get
him. Giants needed it, and I think the Giants – the one issue with the Giants, you've now lost Olivier Vernon. You've lost – the trade deadline last year, Snacks Harrison, Landon Collins is gone. I like to Wes's point a few days ago, name like five players on the Giants defense. Unless you're an ultra nerd, I mean, or someone that works inside the NFL, good luck because it's a bunch of no-namers.
They
Mark saw my eyes lighting up. I was like, I'll take the challenge and I'll stomp on it.
I guess this also, you know, illuminates how much money the Browns are one of the teams with the most cap space. you could do this because Vernon is getting paid like star money. Right, it's not, but, been but nothing it's close to a star, but if you have the money, spend it.
But you also dumped Zeitler's contract. You're really not paying that much more, and it's only for two more years. You're not taking on a five-year guaranteed
contract. Here's the thing.
Contract.
If Vernon was a free agent, I don't think he would do much worse than the contract he's on. I really think he would get like at $25 million guaranteed over the first 2 years of his deal if he was a free agent right now. Because if he was a free agent, just looking at our list, for instance, Malik Jackson is supposed to get cut today. That's not a surprise. He's going to go right into our top 20. I would probably have him right around where Olivier Vernon would have been a top 15 to 20 free agent. He would have gotten paid by someone 12, 13, 14, just because he's a young guy who can play.
To your point, and yeah, I agree. It's a win-win. To your point, though, why not go the draft route and take a swing on a prospect who's better and cheaper than Vernon?
I think they can because, again, this is a two-year commitment to Olivier Vernon. And just so we don't have to come
back
here.
And it'll be easy to cut. They didn't give him any. Right. If it doesn't work out, they'll cut him next.
And just so we don't have to come back here 2 hours from now for another emergency update to this,
Malik Jackson
has been cut.
Okay.
As has Carlos Hyde by the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Another spill by Greg, by the way. It just happened not
it's
to be
just not on technology this time.
The coffee was behind his laptop. My laptop was in the vicinity. That would have been horrendous if Greg's sloppy ways could have cost me in a big spot.
Well, this, you know, was a beautiful, you know, kind of those mug with a small opening, so barely any came out. Let's calm down.
All right, good breaking news convo.
Thanks for coming in, Dan.
No, you got to grind. It's grind.
You know, this news.
What about me? I came in.
Yeah, you good job, too. No, you're right. You're right. I didn't know. We didn't hear from you initially, you know, last night.
Well, I was actually.
The news happened, and Dan's texting me right away and like, hey, should we.
I was on a date night, and, ooh, you know, yeah. So I put the phone in the back pocket, and,
good
like,
job.
We're driving around. I get home. There's, like, 850 texts about all this, like, massive breaking news. Like, good
job. You got home from the date night, and Simone was like, where were you?
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, so now. We're going to throw it to, I step away, I disappear, I go into the time vortex, and I'm gone. I'm replaced by Chris Wessling and Patrick Claibon. Take it away, boys.
The Around the NFL Podcast.
Turn down coaching the Bengals.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. I'm Greg Rosenthal, and I'm here in a room overflowing with heroes. Just not the normal ones. It's Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Patrick Claibon in the house. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Greg.
It's good.
Mixing it up.
You're Greg's Ed McMahon, just like I'm Dan's.
You know, a little different week. Dan out for a couple shows, but we've got Claibon here. It's kind of the calm before the free agency storm, but a lot of people chirping out there, and that means there's just been a lot of trashy takes just kind of piling up over the last few months, and that's where the man Patrick Claibon comes in, and he just cleans up that trash.
And that's what I like to do. You know, I like to sift through society's refuse and get covered in it and have it affect my mental state and get really angry at it and then try to hold on to it.
It's been a while since you've been in here, so you must have a mountain of trash.
It's been too long. Maybe since last offseason.
It's been a while, but I understand. You guys are, you know, traveling the globe.
Once.
You know, falling in love. You know, creating progeny.
I mean, Wes has been in love for quite a while. But, yeah, he has a wedding coming up. I believe you have some wedding-related activity this weekend that you're flying off to.
I have a shower in St. Louis.
Yes.
Why do you have to be there?
Believe me, I've asked that question.
Support. All right.
There's a shower my own family is throwing in Cincinnati, and I'm not even allowed to be there, which is how showers should be.
Okay. So that's what you're doing. Tamposi, the loose cannon behind the glass, is alive and well.
But she's
heading sound better.
Oh my
she's
God!
Heading off to a European vacation, so there's just like a lot going on.
Oh yeah.
Are you ready? Are you packed? Are you ready? Like what's?
I'm half packed. I got to pack a little bit more tonight, and then I'm gonna take off. Got a lot of DMs from yesterday's show.
Oh nice.
A lot of people.
So now they're double ironic, right? Because it's normally it's like,
right.
Oh yeah, I'm not that guy, but then it's like,
right?
Oh
I'm
yeah,
definitely
if you
not
didn't
that
listen
guy,
to
no.
the show, yeah, we commented on the untoward, cheesy DMs you get from interested men.
Yeah, I was reading through a couple of them, and one of them that's my favorite one. I just found it this morning. It just said, "Hey, Patriots suck."
I like that.
Oh, that, yeah, that's sure.
I was like,
away.
That's not my Megan, like, why are yeah. you why are you sliding into my DMs to say that?
Well, are any of them creative or entertaining on any level?
I mean, no, they're kind of lame because someone's like, I hope my girlfriend in my photo shows you that I'm not a creepy guy.
That's another. Yeah, that's kind of another way to do it.
Hey, what?
Like, I'm not normally.
Someone was like, I hope you know that by looking in my photo that it's me and my girlfriend, you don't find me being another creepy guy.
Huh.
You know?
I mean, are the vast what? Majority of these people like unemployed, like 21-year-olds in Ireland?
A lot of them are people, now that I'm going abroad, being like, where are you going here? Can we go there?
Yeah, that's why you don't want to totally...
I'm going to be on this continent.
Yeah, you've been announcing it on your on your three podcasts that you're a part of. You're, of course, the producer of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project, JRVP, that we do together.
Unnecessary plug.
For Comedy Central. Why not? Get them in here. And then, but the bigger news I wanted to bring up is you had kind of an emotional episode of the broadcast with Emma VP now announcing her departure.
Yeah,
from the
it
NFL.
Was tough. It's our breakup part one. There is a part two coming that you gotta listen
I'm,
in.
I'm waiting for it.
Which part includes my soundbite that was recorded in an alley about a mile from here?
I think it's part two. So, spoiler alert.
So yeah, everyone, please check out all of the answers.
You are an alley dweller.
Well, I was actually
jogging?
No, well, here's the thing. I was walked from work all the way to the end of a lot. We are on Washington Boulevard all the way to Sepulveda. And then I got the request and I thought if I don't do it now, it'll be the next day. So I did it, but I was walking while leaving a voicemail that you need to listen to later.
I mean, no one has more beautiful alley shots in their IG back catalog than Mark Sessler.
You should create an account just called Alleygram.
I don't have time.
Why so many alleys, though? Because they're not convenient, right?
But L.A. That's an alley city.
It's an alley. I mean, I'm surrounded. I'm always in alleys in L.A.
They're often empty, too, outside of, like, the annoying, like, gigantic vehicle that's going 1 mile an hour to try to dodge you. It's like,
and
we're not
Ted Bundy.
Hate each
other.
Santa Monica feels like it's mostly alley with, like, a side of actual streets. All right, I think we've...
I'm, like, deeply jealous of Erica's travel plans, not at all jealous of yours, Wes's.
Save it for the side streets podcast.
Let's do some news, Erica.
Ridiculous. Booger, get out of the freaking way!
It's Odell Beckham. It's OBJ. I call him ODB. The Cleveland Browns, a lot of whispers, Mark. You texted us 3 or 4 days ago saying, like, you're hearing a lot on the Browns dark web about Odell Beckham.
Which sounds like a euphemism.
And then, like, 2 days later... It really did come out into the national consciousness, and Andrew Hawkins, who also has a podcast, former Brown, kind of put it out there, and it got to the point where Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero are addressing it Thursday on Up to the Minute, and Rap Sheet said the Giants have no interest in trading Odell Beckham, and Aditi Kinkawala was on a Cleveland radio station saying that she heard there was an offer from the Browns that would have included Kevin Zeitler,
Emmanuel Ogba,
and a third player that she wasn't sure about. The Giants,
Baker Mayfield.
A Giants source shot it down that they would never be interested in. It's unclear like if that offer happened, but there's buzz out there. Are you buying it?
Well, I am buying that a phone call might have been made from Cleveland to New York. I don't think there's been literally a sand grain of evidence to suggest that New York is calling anyone about moving Beckham. But it was John Dorsey who said at the combine, he held up his phone, he's like, listen, call me, I'll call you. He's like, the Browns, I think, are going to be very active in free agency. They still have a ton of cap room. The Kevin Zeitler thing from the start on this so-called Browns dark web was...
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes Mark just has this Browns information and he doesn't tell us where it comes from.
When I float it to you guys on text, it's like, unless like the Associated Press reported this an hour ago, it's not legit. It's like, I said, this is totally out there. It's maybe total BS, but it's out there. And the Zeitler thing was always packaging Zeitler plus X, Y, and Z to a team that desperately needed offensive line help and have offered something big in return. And the Giants make sense when you put all that together. I think that it's crazy to think that you would trade Kevin Zeitler, Emmanuel Ogba, who the Browns are essentially looking to upgrade from already. Zeitler's being replaced by a second-year player they drafted. And I don't know who the player to be named is, but that is usually a lesser player than the players that are named. Why on earth would you move Odell Beckham for that? That, to me, seems
from the Giants'
perspective.
Yeah, from the Giants.
Like, that's why the story feels massively incomplete to me.
This reminds me of back in the days when I used to play Dynasty League fantasy football. The best way to get good in Dynasty football is to trade all of your, like, kind of good players for an absolute superstar. Like, why would the Giants want to trade for these, like, okay, slightly above average starters when you've got a superstar?
What would the Giants be telling every single person that follows the Giants if you made that move?
One day become a GM and trade with us because you can absolutely take advantage of us by packaging together the guys that you aren't going to re-sign, and we'll, you know, give you our transcendent guy who may be on his way to Canton. I think perhaps, first of all, Mark and Aditi are in the same dark web, which I think is cool. Like, do you,
no doubt.
Do you guys use, like,
well, it's true because I listened to this radio appearance she had, and she's buddies with all the guys in Cleveland, Bull and Fox. There's some other, you know, there's some other station. She was clearly on a, you know, she's deep into this dark web.
But I will say one thing. It was not, I have not contacted Nick Shook, who already is inside the Browns building. He had nothing to do with this.
You've cultivated that source for 5 years.
Well, Shook has lost his membership in the dark web, right? You have to remove your hood and you have to state your purposes.
I think Shook essentially now has to be, you know, he's writing for the team's website. Those, the team websites typically are not hot take machines. It's state the facts and get out of there. Get out
of
there.
I would love to see Shook break the Odell Beckham story.
But
he's not going to be doing that.
Does that hurt? Do you think that hurts the relationship?
You hear that, Shook? He's Sessler's doubting you.
He told me. I mean, he'll tell you the same. You're not breaking
the wall
news
like the
from inside Cleveland Browns.
Sorry, Patrick.
No. I live in fear of an angry Shook.
As does everyone.
True.
Noted. But in terms of GMs, right, let's say that is the conversation. He's like, hey, what if you want this trash for Odell Beckham Jr.? Does that hurt the chance of a future trade if somebody makes trash trade offers to you? Or is it just like, hey, man, get out of here?
I think it leaves a bad taste in your mouth, but if you want a guy on the other team bad enough, you're going to overlook him.
Yeah, it's like the Dynasty League you were talking about. Like, that's the guy you just end up talking, you know, shit about. It's like, all right, enough enough with these offers, Ricky. Like, you know, Adrian Peter, you know, the guy who is always just sending these moonshot offers, just hoping someone finally takes it.
But do we think John Dorsey actually called up and made that insane offer?
Fabiano does that move a little bit, I think, in his league.
And like, I think it might make people reluctant to trade with him. Right?
Maybe. There have been other reports, though, that Zeitler is available. Now, I don't know if that was connected, and Duke Johnson could also be available in a trade.
I would be stunned. I think the Duke Johnson probably boils down to where the Kareem Hunt suspension is, but Duke Johnson is someone that they've never figured out to how to actually maximize under multiple coaches, and he's sort of the guy left out of the mix at this point.
Little surprising Zeitler would potentially get traded, one of the highest paid guards in the league, and I guess they like his back.
Well, they drafted Austin Corbett last year in the second round, and he sat the bench all year, so they're probably looking to play him and cut Zeitler's contract.
So Zeitler could be part of this whole trade tsunami, as Patrick Claibon once named it on
Tsunami.
NFL Network. Tsunami. It's the sequel. Trade.
Oh, Tsunami.
Trade Tsunami.
Oh, I get it.
Went out of my head. Sorry.
I'm waiting.
Think about it like a movie poster, and there's Greg
riding
a wave that's making the number two.
I'm waiting for it. There's so many players that seem like they're available right now. There's so much salary cap space. As we tape this, it hasn't really started yet, and I just feel like it's going to be trades, it's going to be cuts, it's going to be everything. The entire NFL offseason is basically going to happen in the next 10 days or so, which is wild. But here's some of the names that have just come up in the last, you know, 2 days. Michael Bennett of the Eagles on the market, Robert Quinn on the Dolphins, Pelissero said there's been some trade talks, and Jordan Howard has been talked about, according to ESPN.
That's been out there.
Schefter.
It's been out there since Nagy landed in Chicago.
Right, so I guess it's been back. It's back now that there's some more talks. Well, which of these guys, you know, strikes your fancy?
Well, Jordan Howard to me is the one. Like, I could definitely see him getting traded. And when people say he doesn't fit Matt Nagy's offense, it's the same reason why a lot of teams aren't interested in Adrian Peterson, because you have to build the offense around them as an every down power back. Once they're on the field in passing situations, it's a tell that, hey, this guy's in the – we're not passing the ball to this guy. If he's in the game, we're running it.
There were whispers that the Dolphins had some interest in him at the trade deadline last year, and he's entering a contract year. So now this is exactly what the Giants didn't do with Landon Collins. If you want to get anything for him, make it happen now.
I can't imagine you'd get too much.
pick.
No, you get a like a late pick.
Yeah, it's a tough situation, especially for Jordan Howard. You know, you get moved to a team, and you, like, you don't know if they want to commit to you long term, and you're going into a contract year. Something shiny may come up in the draft, and that guy may get more run than you. It puts these guys in a tough situation, especially at running back.
He's one of those guys that always, you're not quite sure why he's good. He always seems to do better and get more yards than you expect. Like, he doesn't look that fast, but he still like can get past people. He's one of the, I don't know. You can see why he fell a little bit in the draft, and the same sort of reasons why people don't give him a lot of credit, but he's still pretty effective.
Oh, so Michael Bennett and Robert Quinn sort of had the inverse seasons last year. Quinn started out in September and early October playing really well and faded down the stretch. Michael Bennett was incredible down the stretch.
He was great.
Playing lights out. And to me, that's a little surprising that they get rid of him as well as he played.
They're just in it's such a money situation with the Eagles right now.
Yeah, it's kind of my maxim that cap space is overrated. But for the Eagles, they are probably in as much trouble as anyone. And I think they would say they're fine playing it close to the cap because they feel like they can be flexible. But sometimes in this situation, it's like you just have to make a choice between about four good defensive linemen. And Chris Long is on the books next year. He's a great value. And so, he's been there a little longer, and Bennett's older.
I'd like to see Bennett in Atlanta. They've had some issues trying to keep Vic Beasley healthy.
That works.
Get him to make some plays.
That part, the
playoff game where he
would be a great
didn't
fit.
Get into double digits in plays. Purely healthy. Brooks Reed was playing a lot.
On the Robert Quinn front, though, it's like this is one of those classic. The Dolphins are looking to trade him, or they're just going to release him. He saves them $13 million with zero dead money if he gets cut.
They're going to cut him every September, because I used to love Robert Quinn. There was that one year, I think it was 2015, when I was convinced he was going to be like the next great defensive player. And every year he seems to start off a house on fire, and then he has these chronic back issues, and I think that's probably what ends up showing up by November, December. So, yeah, they'll probably cut him. I thought the Giants were going to cut Olivier Vernon, but Kim Jones and Rap Sheet said on Up to the Minute that it looks like now they're going to keep Olivier Vernon. They couldn't, he was maybe available in a trade, but he's making a lot of money. I think that's telling about the pass rush market that they will keep him. And I think it's smart.
You have Emmanuel Ogba coming your way, so you don't need Olivier Vernon.
He's only 28 years old, Olivier Vernon. It's like they're not going to get better by continuing to cut and get rid of their best players.
Also another guy who played really well at the end of last year.
That's right.
I wonder what it does for the free agent edge rusher market when six or seven guys are getting the franchise tag. Like, does that ultimately hurt how much the guys are getting paid, or does it raise them?
I mean, I think what hurts just as much is this draft class, which is that's meant to be the position.
No, I think it helps it. So I think you're talking about Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, and then potentially Dee Ford on a new contract. Like, I am not buying that he's going to be a member of the Chiefs. If he's available in a trade, I just don't understand why he wouldn't get traded, because it's hard to find guys like that. Like, and if it only takes a third-round pick to get Dee Ford, and I would guess that's the case if they're willing to trade him, like, someone's going to do it by April.
Go get Dee Ford.
Like, Trey Flowers is probably going to make $17, $18 million a year.
By April or by next Friday?
Maybe by next Friday for Dee Ford.
New NFL strategy, collect as many threes as you can and then wait to trade for guys like Dee Ford.
I love it.
Cycle them out.
Right. I think veteran trades, mid-round trades is kind of a nice move that the Eagles and the Rams and the Patriots have done quite well over the last few years. And another one is picking up these guys like Michael Bennett. I think that's the new money ball. 33-year-olds on one-year contracts that are actually still good at football. Everyone's so afraid to pay them. They help you win games.
Haven't the Patriots been doing that for 15 years or more?
They have. Yeah.
Like, hey, if you want to win a championship, come play for us for cheap.
You just woke Erica up.
I know. Erica's got a big old smile on her. I haven't seen you smile all week. You do look like a totally different person than 48 hours ago.
Oh, my God.
Which is how you make Patriots fans happy. You discuss value, because that's what they look at the big smiles across the room.
I know.
What are you talking about? I don't. I want to keep Trey Flowers. I don't care.
Yeah, but you're not even a real Patriots fan. But you're already looking forward to not calling him.
I'm the realist. I don't know if you listened to Monday's show, but I was there when Doug Flutie went around end there, scored a touchdown on the Colts.
I was also there when you said, "I can't wait to dump the Patriots."
Subreddit, Greg, is like just.
I know. You don't vent, Greg. You don't really believe in the subreddit.
Yeah, one reason why I don't read the subreddit ever.
But wow. you are getting taken behind the woodshed.
Why?
For your Patriots fandom.
Because literally was like, "All when Brady and Belichick leave, I'm not going
to
be a fan."
Good, anymore. One less Patriots fan.
I was just trying to be real about it. When Belichick retires, am I going to be as invested? Maybe we'll see if they have Josh Rosen. Maybe, but
I mean, but you do understand that you are being tagged, and correctly so by definition, as the ultimate Fairweather fan. That the minute that the coach or the quarterback, well, how no?
Good. Well if Derek Seti is going to transfer to those folks,
I'm not switching
teams,
the,
then they'd be happy about it.
Right. I'm not. I'm saying.
You're like, listen, you're not ready to go through a dark stretch with them, basically, which is a 10-year dark stretch.
It's not so much that as, like, I've thought about the nature of being a fan of any team and letting any team kind of control your emotions up and down. Combine that with the fact that we won. I mean, Erica and I won the lottery. This is it. You're not going to top this. This is the greatest run in any team has had.
You said that 4 years ago.
Right, and now it's even better. But so it's like, you're not going to top that. I don't want to be in something that's only getting a little worse.
Here we go. What hurts your argument is that you're going to wait to do it. Do it now.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Well, Belichick's still there.
No.
What does that say about your character that you jump the minute things get tough?
That's not.
You should jump now.
Not how I look.
We've had this discussion.
That's how everyone else is looking at it.
They're looking at it wrong.
No, they're not.
I had a great conversation.
Not in the world of fandom.
With McDaniels in an elevator at Combine.
Wait, who's you're just
Josh
on a last
McDaniels.
Name basis? Okay.
Yeah, we shook hands.
She calls him Mickey D.
Josh.
Yo,
we talked about his wife and we go way back. We had to wait for a
it's
couple
good to
of
start
elevators.
There.
Yeah, we were really cool. Now the future is still so bright.
What did he tell you?
You didn't none of your business.
Here's the thing. They would probably be
none of your business.
In this future world, they're almost absolutely 1A. But I feel like my nature of fandom is different than all these guys on the Reddit board and you guys. Anyways, is that you guys know me. I end up rooting for like 4, 5, 6 other teams. None as emotionally as the Patriots, but you just kind of see who you like. That's how you should. That's a totally
You're talking to a Browns fan that has lived in essentially
Claybon.
Medieval times.
Claybon's
I don't respect
over to my
a word
side.
Of this.
He's kind of like Wes, too, where
he
roots for players.
No, but you and Wes are not the same, though. Wes, you can't just say that you're Wes because you're going to jump out on the Patriots. They've not given you anything but love and joyful moments. That even before it gets bad, you're going to cut bait just because
it's kind of like
it might get bad.
Maybe not even bad, but just like have the average time that you had together be that excellent. It's like maybe you should quit your marriage right when it's at the top.
No.
What are you
total villainy?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Because then Sierra might come along, right? It makes sense.
That is
ultimately, the way I feel about it, I don't care about fanhood as much because then it was like, well, Patrick, what if hypothetically somebody wanted to stop being a fan of the New England Patriots? And my reaction to that is yes.
See? Right.
More people should do that, specifically about the Patriots.
You were pretty broken up about when Lamar and the Ravens lost in that first round, and I think it got you soul-searching about fandom. Like, you don't want to be invested emotionally.
No, purely, I just don't like the Patriots, and I love Greg, and I would like for Greg to not like the Patriots anymore. And so the
You're
idea
looking out
of that,
for him.
Yeah, it's cool.
All right. I mean, I'll listen to that, but I am in no way buying.
I think this is a bunch of BS.
Thank you, Erica.
I just wanted to wipe that smile off
y'all's
faces.
You need to get your together.
It's the nonchalance that rankles me. When I broke up with the Bengals, it was one of the most scarring processes of my life and still scars me to this day.
What was the moment?
I think it's a good conversation.
When they cut Lee Johnson, their longtime punter, because he criticized the organization.
Like, the moment
it's good content,
the decision,
if nothing else. But
I don't think it's a bit, Greg, but it does make me – it's just another thing. I'm like, I have no idea who Greg is at all. I just don't understand
a man
his
of
thinking
principle.
At all.
It just won't be the same without Bill Belichick. That's all I'm saying. Hmm. He's my number one guy.
It's going to be Josh McDaniels, according to Erica.
It's going to be fine.
It makes it worse, Greg, if you don't quit now.
Let's move on to Monday Night Football.
We'll try to.
We talked about Booger. I know this. I was like,
might end the show. Right?
Downstairs, you know, Mark and I were talking. We're like, this is it. We don't have much to talk about. It's a 35-minute show. Finally, we're gonna do it.
No,
we're gonna
never.
Keep it efficient. This is gonna be like our edition of the Daily, and I'm Michael Barbaro, but it's not happening.
This is the Daily.
Look at this. You get a Barbaro impression. Before we go, let's just do the report that the Booger Mobile is not going to be back. That Sporting News is saying. We don't know if Booger McFarland's going to be back, but no matter what, the Booger Mobile is not coming back.
Well, if I know that network well enough, there will be plenty of gimmicks to replace it instead of actual analysis.
I want to know what the cost in human resources was to facilitate the Boogermobile and how many people had to lose their jobs in order for this.
People are losing their jobs.
Yeah,
no doubt about that.
I thought the Boogermobile was fine, and I liked his analysis. I don't think there was anything bad about it. Maybe it didn't help the chemistry between him and Witten. Maybe that.
I would say
I don't know if that was going to work no matter what.
We have to give Dan Hansis some credit, because on our Twitter show, I would say over the course of the season, the Boogermobile and its issues,
he
brought it up multiple times. But if I were to list the things that I want removed from Monday Night Football, one of them is gone. He's now with the Dallas Cowboys. This infrastructure on wheels is not nearly the deepest on my radar. There are other people. They need to continue to cut the fat off of this.
The big question is Tessitore back, or do they just start?
That tells you whether or not Mark watches Monday Night Football with the sound.
Do they start over or not? Do they blow it up? Kurt Warner's been thrown out there. Lewis Riddick.
What's wrong with keeping it in the fairway? What's wrong with the broadcast just being fine and us just appreciating? They try to do too much.
That's my top complaint.
I just want to watch the
right
football.
No one would complain. Like if it was the number three Fox team and they just were doing Monday Night Football in the same sort of good Sunday game, meat and potatoes, let's deliver.
We don't need the interruption in the middle of the game.
No.
We don't need the whole debate about everything.
It's like a lot of – it's the answer, though, I think, is like a lot of reasons why corporations are
– sucking the soul out of America?
Floundering.
Frustrating. And that's – it's people having to justify their jobs. There's a lot of people on the payroll, and so that just means there's a lot more people having to justify what they do by somehow being part of it and making a decision or adding this or that, and it's just –
they could always cut salary at the top, but they never do that.
You walk around our building, and we don't go to meetings mostly at all, which is
amazing.
We've
gotten out of them. We used to a lot.
But you walk by any room that with more than 8 seats, and it's just a bunch of people sitting around, and you know that nothing's happening in the meeting. And there's always – every meeting you go to has 3 or 4 people that must inject a comment just to say, listen, I checked a box. I'm here. I'm engaged mentally. Your comment is wasting our time. You've said nothing of value, and yet somehow inside you're building cred. It's
but that's a lot
ridiculous.
Of people's jobs.
That's what I'm saying. That shouldn't be a job.
When there was a surprising – there's been a lot of departures at the top level of the NFL over the years, and I've heard different things, when people have been forced to leave. And, one of those things is he didn't really add much in meetings, And I was like, who is? I've never – what are you talking about?
What are you asking of a floating middle manager?
Never really came up with some great ideas in meetings. As opposed to what? That's my stuff.
I hear you, Greg.
Last,
we're back on the same wavelength here.
Last item of news, Chicago Bears really set up Twitter punchline writers all over the country by signing the kicker Chris Blewett.
Right, so after Cody Parkey blew it, they signed a kicker to replace him named Blewett. Which is a joke that writes itself, but he does join third-string quarterback David Fales and former Giants tight end Will Tye on the declarative sentence All-Stars.
I think that's a good take. I haven't heard that on the Blewett front. I was wondering where you were going to come with that.
Would you count Cody Parkey?
No. Is Parkey a verb?
I don't know. Maybe it is.
His name was Cody Parks. Well, Will Parks for the
Will Parks. That's
for the Broncos.
One.
Yeah.
You see people change their names for professional reasons all the time. There's a strong case for him at some point in his life to say, "I'll go by this for my taxes." Blewett as my last name, but in general, as a kicker, you've got to see this is going to happen. The minute you make any sort of headway in your career, bang, people are going to be all over it. Change your name.
What would the best kicker name be?
What if his name was Chris
what
B?
If, nailed it.
Last name, just the letter B.
Chris nailed it.
No, how about Chris Clutch?
something edgy, like Chris Laser.
I like it. It shows a
Chris
a tough character. I feel like he was
nine
years old. His last name was Blewett, and he was like, what I'm going to do? I'm going to prove everyone wrong. I'm going to be an NFL kicker with this last name.
And
he did it.
So far, so good.
He's at a newser after a kick gets blocked, and people are asking him tough questions. He's like, you think you can hurt me? My name's Blewett.
Yeah, but that position is such a mental and psychological gauntlet already, and then you're stuck with that name. You're already going to be doubting yourself.
There was even Matt Barr, when he occasionally would hit the crossbar, became Matt Crossbar, and it's even that is sneaky annoying.
How cruel.
Also, a mentally difficult thing to get over is when you get thrown into the mix on Trash Takes with Patrick Claibon, and we are so overdue to start this segment that I think we should just do it right now. It's Trash Takes with Patrick Claibon.
And now, Trash Takes with Patrick. Patrick Claybaugh.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, this Frags just dropping heat. Let's get right into it.
Well, for new listeners, okay. Patrick is the host of Up to the Minute on NFL Network on Fridays, some other many other days, hosts a variety of programs on NFL Network. But he's also known kind of as a Twitter superstar. Great Twitter feed. You know, has a good way of deciding who has the right take, who has the wrong take, and letting them know about it in a way that humiliates them. And so this segment is called Trash Takes with Patrick Claybaugh, where he brings out some takes he didn't appreciate.
I don't want to try to humiliate people. I love myself.
I was playing it up. You know, I'm a fan of your sharp wit.
No,
Twitter.com.
And shout out to Alex Wilk, who in the past has tried to, because he looks out for me and he tries to keep me from going too far. In many instances, you know, there's a hot mic and he's like, hey, you know, somebody might be listening. And so we kept the names out of it the last time that we did this.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to do that this time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh.
Good.
Accountability.
Here comes from Warrior1776, which is always an issue, at Chad Moothart. He says, speaking of Patrick Mahomes, yeah, but Brady has his ring size on file. Emoji, shrug. Cool stats and all. But Mahomes needs to develop into a leader like Brady.
Mm.
Otherwise, we will have another Rodgers on our hands. All hype and excuses as to why he can't win more.
That tweet is checking a lot of boxes.
Wait, what was the handle again?
Ew, what's that smell? It's Trash Takes with Patrick Claybaugh.
At Chad Moothart, replying to Pro Football Focus. And I think what I've tried to do here today is because the Trash Takes genre has spanned out into so many different things. As Wes said, it just has so much going on, right? There's the...
It's like a Faulkner novel.
There's the rings argument, which is always trash.
Right.
There's the Rodgers isn't good argument, which
or,
is always
or a
trash.
Leader.
Yeah. And there's the Mahomes thing and excuses. It's bad. It's trash.
After 1 year of the Patrick Mahomes experience in which he's... won the MVP and then scored
right.
32 points in the AFC Championship game, including 28 in the fourth quarter. That
and
was, that
a
was
year
good.
In which he didn't have a single awful game. Not one. Not one. And also throwing in stats as if it can't be possible that you would have great stats and be a leader. They have to be separate.
But he's a great example. I believe, you know, he obviously played more than well enough to beat the Patriots that day. And how different of an offseason it would be for him if the instead of the Patriots we're talking about the 28 points he put up in the fourth quarter to go to the Super Bowl on the way to romping the Rams, which I kind of have a feeling that the Chiefs would have done.
Right. This is how narratives start, that like Patrick Mahomes is less good because Tom Brady entered the zone in overtime.
Right.
Because of a coin flip.
Right.
Yeah. Like, he needs to be better at coin flip.
Because Dee Ford was in the neutral zone. Although, right. You know, when you watch that play, this is my chance to bring this up. No one ever brings up. It's very unclear whether the Brady was actually intercepted and the guy got inbounds. No, I forget who it was. Kendall Fuller? I went back and looked at it, and it was very – I looked at multiple angles. They would have gone to review. I'm just saying, everyone was saying that Dee Ford play cost him the Super Bowl.
You're a Patriots fan.
Cost him the Super Bowl? You don't know that. That actually he might not have got his feet back.
Stop liking the Patriots, Greg.
Okay. Next trash take, Patrick.
Okay.
This one combines a couple of genres as well. One of which I hate the most is ratings. Combined with the Rams don't have any fans. This guy said, fact, semicolon, more people in L.A. watch the Pats Chiefs than Rams Saints. That's never happened before for a home team to have less viewers within their local market in conjunction with another game the same day.
Who authored this tweet?
This was, oh no, Coach Boyne DHS.
Do we know if this is indeed a fact that no home team has ever been outdrawn?
I just know I don't care. Like, why do people care about ratings so much?
This is one of your big talking points. When did America become convinced that we should all care about ratings when it comes to sports? And it's a good point. There is a lot of talk about. Oh, did it go up a point? Did it go down a point? Why are fans so worried?
Well, I'm not sure all of America cares about ratings.
Okay.
I know that you
our
care
Twitter,
a
our
lot
Twitter
about
feeds,
ratings,
our
but
Twitter
it's a very
feeds.
Small
sports,
circle of people.
Like hardcore sports
fans.
Yeah, hardcore sports fans.
Yeah.
It's, you know, Darren Revelle has 5 million followers, and it's like,
right.
you get the Sports Business Daily retweeting overnights from.
I worry about those five. I'm
hesitant to say something as declaratively, you know, and potentially stupid as this guy did, but I bet there's no way that he's right about that. Anyways, first of all, if the Rams were later in the day, they would have gotten the bigger rating. They got a totally normal rating in LA and nationally for that game. I remember it was up from the year before, but the second game always gets bigger ratings. That's just how it
Well, we'd have
works.
To look. I thought I read something similar, but I think number one, for me, Los Angeles is different than any other city in the entire country, and I don't care what sports ratings coming out of Los Angeles are for anything.
Yeah. Right. And it's a huge sports – it is a huge sports town. It's just not a huge local NFL team town.
Not
like
yet.
The NFL ratings get huge – are huge here. It's just – you know, there's 20 different teams to root for.
A lot of different people.
Right. I subscribe to this theory now. I don't care at all about TV ratings. It doesn't bother me.
I used to, and now I'm...
doesn't like, affect
what's
me
it,
at all.
What's it doing for... Did you like the game? Like, right. After the AAF, the opening weekend, people, it's like, oh, ratings, that. It's like, hey, guys, how'd you feel about Trent Richardson? Y'all want to talk about sports, or are we going to do this about this, about other people's money? It's not your money.
Yeah.
All right. Loosely interpreted as trash. I personally love this tweet. I just
okay.
Maybe, but not for the reasons that the tweeter sent it out. During Combine Week, Twitter can be bad. It can be horrible. Our friend Chase Goodbread or
Carbs.
Yeah. You know, Value Pumpernickel. So many different names you could have for Chase.
Wait, Value Pumpernickel.
Yeah, Goodbread.
I love it.
He had a tweet about the Seahawks asking a player to have a staring contest, and there were many reactions to it. But Jim Nagy of the Senior Bowl replied, grit test to it.
No.
A staring contest to test the grit.
He thinks.
No recycling here. It's Trash Takes with Patrick Clay.
The tenacity of a football player determined.
What percentage do you think that tweet was serious? 100%
I don't know.
Or less?
That's true. We don't know.
We don't know. And yeah. I don't know if I hit it.
I think 98%. I mean, he works for a college scouting bowl. I think... he's saying it's a grit test.
I mean, Patrick Claybaugh.
You never know that. We don't know that man.
You have a burner account of your own.
Several.
All right. Well, one of them is David Ely quotes, and I want to know how serious this pinned
Wait, really?
Tweet from
Patrick has multiple burner accounts.
How serious is this tweet from February 2016 from David Ely? If I'm texting, I'm sexting. It's been pinned there for 3 years.
The character of David Ely quotes was purely born from the idea of that tweet. I was trying to get into the idea because we all know and love David Ely.
Sure,
he's a sensible, sexual man.
Helps runs the newsroom downstairs,
but he has sometimes some hilarity involved with relationships with women. And so, in my mind, the idea of an overtly sexual David Ely that talks to women, you know, in very sexual terms, it was great fodder for a Twitter account.
And then comedy,
you know.
He is my boss, and I just had my review with him about 20 minutes ago. So, totally support David Ely, a wonderful guy. I don't know if he's offended by what you're writing.
I'm on his side. How is that dynamic? Because initially there were some concerns that, like, hey, you know, I've been at this company longer than you. I'm older than you. Yet you're my boss. So this is just strange.
Listen to Stinky Davis.
Everything is going absolutely great with David Ely.
All right, let's hear another trash take.
Okay, this one comes from Rivals Mike. After the Ravens lost to the Chargers in the playoffs in 2018, he says, "Where are all the Lamar Jackson apologists now?"
First of all, yeah. What are you apologizing for?
My initial reply was right here, Bucko.
Bucko!
I know the bar is always going to move for Lamar Jackson, but it was just weird after a playoff game in which he actually outpassed Phillip Rivers in – to send that out, and it just kind of encapsulates the whole reaction. I've blocked a lot of people because I'm a big fan of Lamar's, and it's just stuff like that. Like, how do we determine success for other people, and why can't it be the same?
It's a very common version of trash take is basically you have a long held belief, and then the moment you have anything to support it, that's the moment where you tweet, "I was right," you know, like, and in sports, and I've done it too. I'm sure I've done it a million times too. That, like, okay, I'm going to ignore all the rest of, you know, the time that I didn't say anything for the last 2 months. But here, now that I have something that proves my point, I was right.
I told you so.
No.
I hesitate to say this. Take out the guy.
Stop it! It's Trash Takes with Patrick Claybaugh.
See, Dan is on the show.
We snuck him in.
Only very recently, I would say in the last year and a half or so, I've seen a gradual shaming of people who handle Twitter. Because Twitter has been like that for 10 years.
Yes.
Crowing about when you're right. And I've seen a gradual kind of drifting away from that. People realizing that maybe we're not this arrogant and cocky in real life. Why are we acting like this on this medium?
It's because of thought leaders like Claybaugh, you know.
It's shaming.
Holding people accountable. And
yeah,
now
finally.
I think the
last
group is doing it. I think we've had so many good trash takes. We actually should take a break. Like the other day we had that nice little minute cleansing of the palate. And this time, though, Mark's the one that's going to cleanse it.
Well, we have occasionally we ban phrases. I thought, along with your annoyance at people's tweets, that some of the stuff that pops up on Twitter, and I am far from like a millennial watchdog of what's cool or not to be
we
saying.
We all are.
So you're banning phrases.
I'm banning phrases. If I'm starting to say these phrases, anyone younger than me should not be. And I'm not even. But these even I don't even want to say.
It goes so well with trash takes.
It does.
Like this to me sounds like 8 o'clock, 8:30 NBC on a Wednesday night, back to back. Like these two,
they do. They pair very well.
Like they're, it's like it's a beautiful marriage.
Yeah. But I will, like Eric, I'll allow you because you're like a no less than 20 years younger than me. I think that you could, or 19, you could tell me if these are dead on or not.
Sure.
And the first one comes from Emma VP, who sent this along during the week, and she might be the best writer in the building, and she has a good eye for what is total BS. And
not going to be in the building much longer.
Nope, she will not.
Flying the coop.
I didn't know if that was my announcement to make, but
she's announced it a few places.
Yeah, I think so.
It's her career. So she made this great point that every time now, this is on Instagram too, much more than Twitter. Whenever you get like a clown car of like four people in a photo, like a group photo, but they're not like doing the smile with their arms around each other, but it's something else and like a little serious and like might be it's black and white or there's some nice shadow. And then they just like the hashtag is like our album cover or our album is dropping next week. It's like, no, your album is not dropping, you flock of idiots.
No,
do we agree with Emma's take there?
That's heavy shelling.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You're saying if you
so many people are dead.
If you are not indeed putting out an album, you cannot.
Joke's
make
not
a joke.
Funny. No, you're saying the joke's not funny.
It is.
Anymore.
It is.
It's been overdone.
If it was ever funny, it no longer still is. This one annoys me, and it's. I kind of thought this worked for certain groups of people very early on, but it is tiresome. Hashtag squad goals.
Oh, God.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's passed.
Get it out of
that's
here.
A,
I like that one.
Really?
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that I'm right about this, but it is highly annoying.
It's 2019.
Stupid, but that's fun. It's funny. If I posted a photo of the five of us right now, and it's like squad goals, people want to be in this squad, but you know what?
I'm just saying, we can come up with something else that's dumb and sort of
I mean, Claybaugh's young, too, and he was against it.
I'm old at this point.
I mean, you're...
Okay, here's
well,
one.
Your body is starting to fall apart, yeah. So we'll accept you.
I am arthritic.
I heard someone, seriously label someone else in our office, because this is sort of the world that they exist in, that this was their... this is how they felt their real title was Social Media Ninja. Kill me now. I don't need that in my life. Yeah.
I don't feel like that's
it is how people are described, like inside career channels, if they're great at social media.
Ninjas are assassins of the night. How does that even translate?
To me. All right, last one, because the halftime's almost over. anything where someone who's already like 31, like, oh, you had to go do your laundry. I'm so sorry that you had to go do something on your own without someone holding your hand. It's like, just had to go do my laundry. Hashtag adulting.
Oh, okay.
Like, you've been an adult for like 15 years, and it's like, oh. Had to go get four quarters for a dollar by myself. Adulting.
Not a verb.
Get out of here with that.
Can I have a spinoff?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Yes.
I've got
this
a few.
Is a group.
I've got a few,
airing
actually,
grievances.
Now.
The nature of a unicorn is its uniqueness and the fact that it may or may not even exist. If every one of you women out there is a unicorn, then there are no unicorns.
Mm. Boom. I love that's that. Kind of, that's very similar to the goat thing now, that goats are... You know, in theory, it's the greatest of all time, but now it's commonly understood
Wes,
to mean
don't you
one of the better players that, you know.
Of that
no
week.
One actually
of that week.
That,
yeah.
that
don't you think you found your unicorn? You didn't think that she existed, and then you found
No, I
then
found
you
a
found
beautiful
Keisha.
Woman, not a unicorn.
Oh, my God. We have so much work to do.
To your point about, like, the adulting thing, I think it it's untoward. It's unsavory. There's always like a lot of complaining of like, oh, wow, now I'm, you know, it's something happens, like a show is 10 years old or an actor, you know, is celebrating some anniversary and they're like, if that doesn't make you feel old, you know, it's like, I'm officially old. But it's always someone in their 20s or in their 30s. Like, you're not allowed. Even I would say we shouldn't even really be saying that on social media, because then there's like the 50, 60. Like, you're not allowed to say that in your 20s and 30s, yeah, even young 30s. It's annoying. Don't say that.
Could Wes and I say it at age 45?
I don't even think bother. Don't even bother.
No, I don't feel that way inside.
It's just like, yeah, it's just like, oh, I'm old now. And then how about blank is a mood? I'm done with is a mood.
I'm with you.
I'm gonna go through your tweets right now because I feel like you just tweeted something.
I would
like
never
that.
Put is a mood.
It's just, I can't see Greg doing
okay, this. Here's the thing with is a mood. It's fine, like I get, you know, it's cool, whatever. But when you can see in its current state how stale it's going to be in 9 months, then I already want to move past that 9 months because it's eventually going to be stale.
I think the topic we've hit on is the memification of language and how things and words run their course a little bit faster now than they used to. And you're not going to have, like, cool won't be around as long, you know.
No, and like blank is a mood was where I was with like lit the first time I ever heard X is lit. Like, no, because there were a bunch of like jabronis walking around our office saying, it's like, you are not the person who should be saying any of these phrases.
Well, repetition is the death of art and humor.
Ooh.
Greg had a great tweet about slaps. Like, you know, this song slaps.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had said I wish I was young enough to say a song slaps. Because it does, that is a, I think that's a great term.
For now.
But I don't think I think I'm past the point that I can say it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we strongly agree with you.
All right, let's get back to trash
take. All right, let's go back to the topic of language, since this take and our previous discussion can tie into it. This is from at Jerry Dulock, who said, from the irony of ironies department, Oklahoma wide receiver Marquise Brown, Antonio's cousin, will meet with the Steelers tonight. That's not what
That's
irony
not
is.
It's not the irony of ironies either.
No.
And
ew, what's that smell? It's Trash Takes with Patrick Claybaugh.
In fact, the ironies department, maybe, you know, they're seeing some funding cuts, and so they're trying to branch out, but that's that's just not – there's nothing ironic about that. Like, he's Antonio's cousin, and – they're related.
Right. There's no, that's what's called the coincidence. Yeah. This is actually, we've done this show so long that I'm now remembering, I used to make this point like 5 years ago on the show that people mistake coincidence for irony. And like, we need to try to get the word out there of what's a coincidence, what's irony. Maybe Claybaugh or someone else could be an official.
Irony is a very nuanced word.
It is.
It's not easy for people to understand.
In fact, Alanis tried to do everything she could to help us out by making a song without any ironic instances, which is ironic.
In itself, yes.
Yes.
Done.
Well, she did not help.
I don't think that was her. I don't think she was looking at it in such a depth as you just did, but fair enough.
She didn't help.
Here's another Mahomes one. This one from at L Running 3, Lee Running, is the name he chose for himself. Baseball players make a lot less money in their first 5 to 7 years than NFL players. Oh, wait. Actually, this is this is Mahomes. Baseball players make a lot less money in their first 5 to 7 years than the NFL players, so that's a weak argument. If he keeps playing like he did last year, he's going to get paid. He just needs to show a little more humility. I've been a Chiefs fan since I was a kid. Maybe no longer. This guy's going to give up on the Chiefs because Mahomes isn't showing enough humility. Get the f*** out of here!
It's trash.
Might have to end on that. That's the worst take.
Franchise that has been boring for your entire life, now that they're exciting, you're going to give up because of some made-up thing about humility?
Well, also because, like,
talk about cutting off your nose despite your face.
And what are we pointing to?
Right,
has he ever been anything but just sort of a teammate?
I think it was in the replies to some commercial or something. Like, Mahomes had a logo or who knows?
Yeah, if you were – yeah, that would be an annoying tweet pretty much about any quarterback in the NFL. But Mahomes also – particularly doesn't seem to make any sense. Do we have one more we need to finish on?
No, I don't want to leave out my friend.
That was so strong, that last one.
Well, yeah, it was strong. Shout out to Andy Benoit. His tweets are horrible. Jamie Collins has done less with more talent than just about any starting NFL linebacker. it's just a weird thing to say. Like, why you're diminishing the talent of all these other linebackers and saying that Jamie hasn't done anything. He had the torn MCL in 2017.
Was this from, like, yesterday or something?
Yeah, it was from yesterday. I was looking for another bad tweet, so I just went to find
him. He's saying he's done less with more than anyone else?
Yeah.
Now, that's wrong because there's so many NFL players. I mean, it's a bad take because Jamie Collins has had a good career. He hasn't had a great career, but he got a huge contract. He started a million games. He played in big moments. Like, that, you could come up with 100 people in the NFL that have gotten less out of more than Jamie Collins.
Just right diminishing now. The talent of a lot of people, and it's stupid.
I don't like that one. How about – all right, I'm going to throw out one.
Do it.
It's from Pete Prisco.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, I like Pete.
I do too. He's a great guy. I don't think he'd even mind this. This is just sort of a group. No,
not gonna love it.
This is just. It's not a football take though. That's why I don't think.
Oh, okay.
It's like, oh, Friday morning getting taken down on a podcast.
It's a very common trash take on Twitter, and this was in response to some bill in the North Carolina government that they're gonna change their grading scale to make 85 an A.
I remember this.
70 a B. And his take was, this is the participation trophy of grades. Can we get any softer as a community?
First of all,
and this is just like, in general, I don't like the can we get any softer, or, you know, the youth of today is softer bits, only because that's the most consistent bit in human history. Every single generation, if you read the newspapers or any common media or anything from 1700, 1800, 1900 on, every single generation says that about the previous generation.
You're hating down the food chain.
With no exceptions. And when you, like, dive a little deeper into this, it's just like they might make the tests a little harder, and, like, it has nothing to do with getting.
Well, yeah, in terms of that North Carolina story.
They're not changing the average grades necessarily.
Yeah, and one of the consistent things throughout history is people not reading the article.
Right, exactly.
And in that, they're not altering the grade scale for students. They're augmenting the grade scale for the schools in terms of their evaluation.
Yeah.
And so what they've done is lower the standards for the school, not lower the standards for the student.
I mean, where was this when I was in middle school? I don't care. It just sounds like it would have fared better in various, you know, flagging quizzes left and right.
But
I want to mute the words participation trophy from every venue in my life.
Yes.
But also, Greg, I would say that there is an inverse relationship between quality of life and toughness. And as quality of life improves, increases, toughness decreases. And I think evolution works against toughness.
That's my theory.
If that were the case, Pete Prisco's tweets would be a lot better.
There's a lot to unpack there, Wes. And then
the higher your quality of life, the less willing you are to endure tough times.
It's Trash Takes with Patrick Clay.
I think I subscribe to that. I think Wes nailed that one.
I think some people are better at things than other people.
Right.
It manifests itself.
Yeah.
I mean, Greg, you have the take that, like, it's so much better to be alive now than back in medieval times because you'd be dead by, like, age 19 or
something. It absolutely
is. No doubt it is. But it also would have been cool to live in a castle.
My take is it's better to be, like, a lower, like, middle-class person right now than it would be to be, like, the queen in 1650 when, okay, like, 5 out of your, like, 11 kids died in childbirth. Your teeth are falling out. You're going to die.
You stink.
You're going to die at, like, 38. It's always f***ing dark. Like,
it's not always dark.
It's dark.
It's dark all the time.
The sun doesn't exist.
Torches.
There's no light.
It's not all the time, but it's like at night it's always dark.
You go to bed at 5 o'clock.
Right. Like, you're walking around with candles. It's like, hey, where are you?
I largely agree, but I would prefer on some level to be able to, like, oh, you're going to go see your neighbor? Ride a horse for 2 hours over, like, hill and vale with no Twitter and no nonsense, and you don't have to be anywhere the next day at 9 a.m. to clock into some job.
Yeah,
please.
Time travel is always a shaky proposition for me, and I'd like to avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
Backwards, at least.
I hear you. Wow. I think we've said it all. I think we've thrown those takes in the garbage, and I think we've sent Erica out on a winning note. We will miss you next week, Timpos.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you guys too. I will be listening, so be nice.
So I know you're excited about your...
No.
Your Instagram content, so we'll check that out. Everyone follow her there. Follow Patrick Claibon, too, on Twitter. What a gentleman. Thank you for joining us. Hopefully,
thank you guys.
Hopefully it won't be that long until we have you back. And we'll be back next week, Monday, yep. Wednesday, and a third show to be decided what day we do it on. We've also got the Twitter show on Wednesday. It is going to be a crazy week of free agency. And that's it. We're way over the time. For the Quiet Storm, Mark Sessler, the scientist, Chris Wesseling, Erica Tamposi, the loose cannon behind the glass, and Patrick Claibon. See you Monday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.